Welcome, friends, to One Shots and Other Mischief for another single-serving tabletop adventure from Queen's Court Games. I'm Aaron, and I'm joined today by the first horseman of the apocalypse, V.
Hello.
Possibly three raccoons in a trench coat, it's Abby.
Yeah, they.
Zoe, ambassador to the Shark Kingdom.
Hello, everyone. I hope you're ready for some really suspect medicine.
And our favorite semi-professional shenanigator, it's Clara.
Hello.
Also at the table, a special guest. He's the Annie-nominated designer of Red Markets and author of some of our personal favorite scenarios like Lover in the Ice and Wives of March. You can find his work on DriveThruRPG. You can hear him on the Mix 6 podcast and occasionally role-playing public radio. But today he's here with us to share his newest project, Phase Anatomy. It's Caleb Stokes.
Hi, thanks for having me on. Yeah, we're here to play the melodramatic medical mystery RPG. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, my pleasure. For those of you listening, you can find Phase Anatomy in the show notes, link to the Kickstarter. We've backed it. You should back it. Literally everyone should back this game. Caleb, can you tell us some more about what we're getting ourselves into today?
When you look at the field of RPGs, there's tons of games that are meant to emulate genres. And what you get a lot of is, you know, some form of the police procedural with an investigative game or whatnot. But one of the more popular genres serialized in all of culture is the medical procedural. House, ER, Scrubs, all its various flavors, Grey's Anatomy. And I just noticed that aside from some very good games like The Ward, there was not a lot of support in RPGs for telling that kind of high drama general hospital story. And so I made one because I realized that the problem with making those games is that while in Grey's Anatomy, they can write like a 2-page screed about a polycule getting in an argument over somebody's open rib cage. In the actual script, if you read it, all of the actual medical stuff is just parentheses. Medical stuff goes here, end parentheses. And then they hire a doctor from Johns Hopkins University to punch up the text. So what you do in Phase Anatomy, because most RPG groups can't afford that, is you just make up a bunch of supernatural bullshit and pretend it's sane and right. And then you keep doing the melodramatic stuff that is the reason people actually watch shows like that. Yeah. That's my pitch. It's just going to be a bunch of sexy, personally irresponsible doctors, but God damn it, they're there to save lives. And the game pretty much runs itself off of an algorithmic engine I called the DSM-666, which is a powerful tool for generating up to one of 10,000 diseases to give the patient. And I won't know what disease my character has. I will just know the symptoms and how they're affecting me. And you won't know either. You will have to sort out through role-playing which of the 10,000 supernatural diseases possible I could have. So that's the gist of the game. Yeah.
Yeah, rules light, quick to play. So we have the app open now. It's an app-based game in general, or will you be able to play out of a text?
Oh, no, I like a big book first and foremost, but the app is very useful. The original plan was this to be a game that you could play on your phone at conventions. Like, we wanted to be the pick-up-and-play RPG of, hey, there's eight people. How do we play an RPG together? And we want it to be fam. So the little app is to support you if you don't have the big book. But the big book is fully an option, and it has very pretty art, so.
I'm a sucker for big books. I'm a sucker for great art. But we have the app open, so start us off. What is it we need to do?
Well, I am going to be playing the patient, meaning I am the patient of the week. I am the reason you sexy doctors are going to get together and save lives. And also because of casting budgets, I'm also probably going to probably sabotage my own treatment very frequently because that's how these shows work. All of you are going to be providers. So I'm just going to walk you through what I see on my patient screen first, and then I'll have you all click the provider button. Is that cool?
Sounds good.
I'm ready. Awesome. I'm all so right. Excited.
I'm terrified.
So here is what my screen says. You are feeling ill and have gone into the hospital for a checkup. In this world, all diseases have supernatural elements, making them extra dangerous, but they are all curable. However, your providers have to diagnose you in time to save you. Give your patient a name and a basic physical description. My patient's name is going to be Stanislav. He goes by Stannis, and he works for the magical TSA at Newark. I'm going to inform my providers of this, and that's how I'm going to role play my patient. So when providers talk to me, they will ask me to perform actions on my screen. I'm going to press the appropriate button and follow the instructions. I don't know what I have in terms of a disease, and I can't describe my symptoms by name, but I can only win if I interact with you, my providers, and care team in such a way that enables you to diagnose my illness. So in order to make this app cheap enough that we could actually do it, it is not databased, so there is some information we have to enter correctly on either side in order to be playing the same game. So I'm going to click Generate Intake Information. And if you guys click Providers, the first thing it's going to ask you to do is to enter that intake information. So do you guys see a place to do that? You should have two numbers and then a date.
I've got two numbers and a date.
Yes. Okay, so your first number you need to enter is 57. The second number is 48. And then the date is 6/24/2021.
And then we can begin treatment?
Yes, then you're going to begin treatment and I'm going to check in. Okay, so the first thing you need to do as providers before we can get started is build your characters. So what I suggest doing first is letting the game randomly generate you specializations and then building an idea for a character around that. So specializations are one-time supernatural powers that you can use in the game to pierce the logic puzzle at the heart of this diagnostic mystery. Once you pick a specialization, nobody else in the care team can have that specialization. It is special to you, and it gives you a special power. And like everything else in Phase Anatomy, it is supernatural. So you will have a super specialization like psionic, demi, angelic, or necro, time. And then you will have a natural specialization like primary care physician, anesthesiologist, lab tech, or psychiatrist. So the game should have a button to auto-generate your specializations. And I guess we should just go down and make sure we don't have any matching. So Clara, what specializations did the app give you?
I have time psychiatrist, which is amazing.
Oh my God, I'm so jealous.
All right, time psychiatrist is taken. Aaron, what do you got?
I am the necro administrator.
Awesome.
No, I hate that.
Zoe, what do you have?
I am an angelic lab tech.
Nice.
I feel like out of all the hierarchy of like angels, lab tech is the lowest form. So here I am.
Maybe. I don't know. Angels are all about that subservience thing. Maybe by being the lab tech, you're actually like Michael or something with a flaming sword.
I'm doing
my
best work.
Yeah. Saints are like upper middle management anyway. I think they're all about bureaucracy.
Yeah. All the angels have been doing COVID tests in the last year. They're keeping really busy. V, what are you?
I am a blessed internist.
Ooh, all right. That's a good to be for an internist. Abby.
Oh, goodness. I'm an alchemical nurse.
Great.
All right. It's like real life. We're just trying to get us sold on leeches.
I was going to say, Abby, this is supposed to be role play.
Yeah, Abby, come on.
At least I have the workplace experience.
Oh, well, this will be nonsense to you. We are just going to traduce your entire academic field. And I apologize because I know biology.
Oh, no, I am so pleased.
And way too much about mythology and dumb stuff. So this is how we work next. Your character needs a name. One of the rules we have in Phase Anatomy is to be professional. So you need to be referred to by that name during the game, because you are either Dr. whatever, Dr. Unicorn, Nurse Findelak the Destroyer, like whatever your name is, that is how people refer to you. And then you're going to have to, once everybody has a name and has introduced their characters, you are going to have to pick your associates. And that is going to be your bestie, which is the person in the cast that you hang out with at work and like most. A rival, which is your professional work arch nemesis. And then a crush, which is someone your character secretly longs for. Claire, what's the name of your provider, the time psychiatrist?
You've truly asked me the hardest question I've ever had to answer in games.
I'm sorry.
Oh, God. Let's go with Dr. Quark. That's the name. That's what we're going with. That's what
All
I
right,
have.
Dr. Quark. Aaron, how about you?
Well, I'm a necromancer. I am Baron Jürgen von Verwaltung, which, as far as I can tell, is German for middle management.
Okay. Can you say that again? I have to write it down.
Yes, I will put it in chat. It is Verwaltung. I expect to be referred to as Baron at all times.
Okay. Baron V. That's what the interns and like the maintenance staff call you. Zoe, what's your name?
I've went with the name Rachiel because it's essentially Rachel, but angelic. You know, gotta have the E-L at the end. So I am Rachiel, the lab tech.
Do you get angry when people see your name tag and pronounce it Rachel?
Yes. Very angry, but it's difficult to tell because I'm one of those angels that is like 18 wings and one eyeball staring at you. So it's difficult
yeah,
to judge.
Everyone knows they're Wisconsin nice. They would never let it show. Yeah. And then V.
I am Dr. Shannon. I don't know. God, I wanted a really boring name because you're like, oh, like they're blessed, but like it has to be just like a super boring name because. Why
Maybe
not?
Saint Shannon?
No, God. Oh, God. Saint Shannon. I hate that.
I
love it.
I like the boring idea of Shannon Shannon, but like the first name is spelled with a Y for Shannon.
S-H-A-N-N-Y-N. And the last one. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yes. I'm Dr. Shannon. Oh, no. And then, oh, but don't you dare call me Shannon. If you call me right. Shannon, that is a disrespect. You have to call me Dr. Shannon or else.
Aren't you an intern?
A lot of
Are you still a doctor?
To survive this case, it's very scary. Name.
I'm an internist. An internist is a doctor of internal medicine. I'm not an intern. I'm an internist. Get it right, Dr. Quark. Okay,
I see this now.
In season 3, we're going to introduce the intern Shannon, and it's going to be a major plot point.
Oh my God, it's going to be so bad.
Finally, Abby, what is the name of your alchemical nurse?
Oh, goodness, you can call me Nora Plaguefellow, or just Nurse Plaguefellow, if you would. I understand that my equipment's a little out of date, but I'm telling you, beaks stuffed with herbs and leeches on hand are great to have in a hospital setting.
Awesome. Clara, who is your best friend at work amongst the characters introduced thus far?
I think... I Dr. think... Port. I think Baron, I can't pronounce your last name, Jesus Christ, Baron Verwaltung and I are going to be besties because I think we both have a healthy respect for admin, like, work, paperwork.
And cool, and both love and like triangles are encouraged in a melodrama, so you don't have to reciprocate, Baron, if you don't want to be besties back, but you get to choose next. Who are you besties with on staff?
My bestie is going to be Nora Plaguefellow. We both come from an old tradition of medicine. She believes in the humors, and I believe in letting them die and raising them up to be my minions.
Yeah.
Of course, I mean, if there's too much sanguine, why not just let it flow?
I could have one of those diseases. Zoe, who's your bestie? Rachiel.
I'm still kind of thinking about who my bestie should be. I wanted to say Dr. Nora, or I'm sorry, I wanted to say Nora Plaguefellow could be my bestie, but at this point it feels like she's kind of just besties with everyone.
I mean, there are definitely cliques in any hospital. Like, maybe Plaguefellow was just Queen Bee of this ward. We don't know. Like, yeah.
She is the nurse, and, you know, if you don't have a helpful nurse at your side to do things, I assume things are going to be way more difficult.
Everybody loves Nurse Plaguefellow. V, who's your bestie?
My bestie's actually Raquel. I mean, you know, the blessed, the angelic, it just something about her. It just calls to me, you know?
Oh, man. And you have a best friend right there waiting for you, but you're chasing the popular nurse for like approval.
Yep.
Very interesting.
To be fair, there are more of us than what the drama allows. And I was actually going to put Shannon as my bestie as well. Just, oh, okay. Well, it was kind of like I was debating still.
Yeah, that's cool. Plagfellow, who's your bestie?
Oh, goodness. I love learning new things. So I would say Dr. Quark's my bestie.
All right. Now, you can also define rivals and crushes before you start, if you wish. Or you can allow that to be auto kind of generated through the medical drama system of the game.
Okay, except I had already front loaded that Plagfellow was my rival.
I knew
that's
it.
Completely fine. Do that. Yeah. There is no requirement. You could type it in as we go, or we could do it on character creation right now. But yeah, the game kind of demands you pick rivals and crushes as the case gets more extreme. Yeah.
I decided that my crush is Dr. Quark. We have a forbidden romance based around our conception of time. I want so badly to love her, but her way of handling time and my way of handling time are just fundamentally incompatible, what with the necromancy versus the manipulating the stream of linear time.
Yeah, why build a time machine when you could just be a lich? Like, yeah, just...
Because one way only moves forward.
You don't need to be reborn if you never die.
See, my crush was actually also Dr. Quark.
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah.
See, oh, this is even better.
Because Dr. Quark, being a time psychiatrist, you know, if there are things that mess with your head as well as your internal organs, like, it can be a thing where, you know, maybe we do need to go back in time and figure out where all of this started. But like, from like a medical standpoint, not just like a psychiatric standpoint. And there's just something about her that is just, oh, so good.
I love this because my rival is Dr. Shannon. I am so tired of her.
You're my rival!
At the last minute, sweeping in, laying hands upon someone who was just so ripe for minionhood.
That's hilarious because you were my rival because... every single time you're hoping that I fail so you can have more minions. And it's very, very rude and incredibly unprofessional.
Look, as management, it's my job to control labor costs, and undead have no wages. You are robbing this hospital of profitability every time you save a life.
I feel like undead having no wages is actually, in this world, a huge violation. But that could
I think
just
it
be
is
me.
Actually a huge violation. But
look, if you want to join the hippies outside in the parking lot with their signs that zombies have rights, go
hold on,
for
hold
it.
On, hold on. Let's save all of this melodrama for the game, you guys. We are getting too into it now, which I love, but I feel like we can like harness all of this for inside the game.
You are right.
Well, it sounds like we've started, so let's just roll with it. When you start a game of Phase Anatomy, all you have to do is acknowledge the oaths, which is do no harm. So. Recognize that medical stuff can get real and try and keep it light. And if anybody has a problem, we just veil it out and pick something else because it's silly. Be professional and refer to each other by your titles. And we try and kick the can, not the bucket. So try and leave some meat on the bone for a scene, because if this show gets canceled, they definitely will not get a series finale. It will just end, like most medical procedurals. So,
oh, I didn't realize that we were on Netflix.
Too real. Yes. Oh. Too real.
Oh.
All right. So I am going to begin after you guys have the calm before the storm, which is your brief montage-like description of how your doctor gets to work that day. So I think we've already painted pictures of the hippies in the parking lot protesting undead wages. But let's get in there. Dr. Quark, how do you arrive to work?
Do you remember the opening of Back to the Future where, like, it's just a shit ton of clocks in his garage?
Mm-hmm. Does some 80 power tune play behind
you? Yeah, there's an 80s power ballad as, like, the DeLorean comes screaming in because I've just borrowed that. There's a whole union situation, but like I've borrowed that DeLorean. And yeah, just I hop out and there's a little bit of extra like puffs of, I don't know, gas, steam, whatever comes out of that thing. As I do, it looks a little like I've hotboxed.
Dry ice, yeah.
Yeah, dry ice. I've hotboxed it with dry ice. clear, just elbowing my way through the protesters, like signing with that, petitions without actually looking at them. Like, this is normal. And yeah, just... It, can we have a coffee shop like in Scrubs in the front?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and just order my usual at the coffee shop out front, which is a red eye with 15 extra shots.
Yeah, it's Starbucks, which is a giant stag-headed wilderness god.
Yes.
That is omnipresent at every kiosk on every floor somehow.
It's like where everyone meets. We don't have like a water cooler, we have a Starbucks.
He never spells anyone's name correctly because it's all in his weird glyph language, but the order is always right, so you just figure out the cuneiform for your name eventually. So
perfect. I check like the 14 watches on either a forearm and just like get ready for my practice.
All right. Administrator V, how do you begin the day?
Well, being a lich, there's no need for me to go home. There's no need for me to sleep. There's no need for me to eat. I just lord at the top of the hospital. Well, not the top of the hospital. I'm still waiting on that promotion. But I'm just brooding by the window, looking down over the parking lot, watching these people with their passion for... rites for the dead. And in one hand, I hold a menacing orb that alerts me to any malfeasance in the hospital, people stealing pens. And in the other hand, I have a checklist where I'm writing down the names of employees who signed the petition.
Wow. That's pretty impressive. You hold the clipboard and the orb and write on the clipboard? Liches are accomplished. He's just... Yeah, so, wait, aren't you in love with Dr. Quark?
I am.
How did you feel seeing Dr. Quark do a sick kickflip off a protester when she came in the front door?
I haven't been this conflicted in ever. I think it's possible, I'm rationalizing it, that because she is a time traveler, and knowing how in any TV show the rules of time travel are incredibly complicated, there is an alternate universe in which Dr. Quark will have had been on my side in this fight. And I'm making a mental note to go into my Lich ritual book later and figure out how to merge that timeline with this one. I can have her. I just have to find the time.
Okay, so just a bunch of angry notes about office supply theft and hearts with Dr. Q written in them. Okay. Who's next? Zoe, what do you got?
I don't so much as move in the way that all of you are aware of movement, I guess. It's more along the lines of sacred geometry, angles, that sort of thing. And with that, I just kind of like materialize in the lobby in like a glorious shaft of light and announce my presence by way of just simply saying, I have arrived in like this multi-toned voice. You know, my lab tech badge is swinging from one of my various many winged appendages.
Is anyone in that hallway to see this?
We always arrive at the same time. That's how we actually became besties. So I actually complete my arrival as she does this, and I just roll my eyes. It's just another day, standard Raquel.
Cool. Yeah, the Starbuck is waiting with your orders. He always knows. He's everywhere. And then Nurse Plaguefellow.
So about those protesters, I might have had something to do with why they're protesting at the moment. You see, on my morning walks, I like to wheel my cart as I head to the hospital and cry out, bring out your dead, bring out your dead. And of course, well, a few undead might have ended up in my cart, and they see this as being inhumane. They're not strapped down because they don't want to be there. They're there for just carpooling.
Yeah, you're a no-kill hospital. Like, everyone is revived somehow, so.
Of course.
That's why Baron really hates his job. We are strictly no kill, and he cannot get behind that.
Oh, I'm here to fix that.
No kill means no raising, so.
But I'll pay them no mind as I cart by with my squirming escorts. After all, there might be a chance to see Raphael.
You come in. Now you get the briefing. There is a man named Stanislav, who is an employee of the Magical TSA at Newark Airport in the Customs Division. And he has come in to report a dangerous new street drug that is filling the streets of America. And he needs to report it as a public health crisis. And that is all you know before you meet with him. So when you are beginning your care, you can decide what actions you want to take. And this would be a good time to explain the mechanics of the game. So you're going to roll, not going to roll anything. You're going to spend a point of expertise. Do you see that button on your app?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So expertise will allow you to take expertise actions. So one expertise action will allow you to diagnose, which means you get to talk to the patient and see what kind of symptoms they have. That gives you more information. And then you can go over to your tab of the DSM and type in what you think the name of the symptoms are. That will pull up the D100 list of super diseases and the D100 list of natural diseases, and see what symptoms that corresponds to. And you can sort of do a logic puzzle to figure out what the person has. The problem is, every time you take an expertise action on my screen, I am going to move forward in progression. So the longer you take to diagnose me, the more sick I am going to get. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yes.
The other thing you can do is test. So symptoms will reoccur across the list. Like if I have a fever, it could be because I'm possessed by a fire demon, or it could be because I have a low grade infection. How do you figure out what it is? Well, you would perform a test, and that would give you definitive yes, no, confirm, deny information for the logic puzzle, letting you eliminate options and decide exactly what a symptom means. You can revive. I would like you to do that. If I die, that would be very good. You can consult, which would be consulting a deity for advice. If you are confused about the game, that is sort of your dial a helpline to whatever god you believe in, as we call them in the game, the ascended physicians, to help you get on the case. But the problem with that is once you spend your expertise, you're out unless you have a specialty that allows you to refill it magically. And you cannot do any actions at all to help the patient, including treat, which is just there to alleviate their symptoms and make sure they live longer. You cannot do anything if you don't have expertise. So the way you will refill that is medical drama, which is all of the wackety-schmackety-do, improv, melodrama stuff. You have a generator on your website that will generate medical drama. You can call people into the scene, and everyone who participates in that little scene gets a point of expertise back. So your drama fuels your deduction, if that makes sense. So that is the basic mechanic of the game. What is your specialty now? Because that is another one-time spend you can use, or innate power that you have that will give you a leg up in the contest. So, Dr. Quark, what's your specialties do?
As a time psychiatrist, time allows me to always know the current condition's progression limit.
Ah, so my progression limit is 1, meaning that after the very first scene, I'm going to get worse and go from healthy down to good in my condition tracker.
Good to know.
Only you know that because, of course, you can see the future.
Yes. And then my psychiatrist ability or expertise means that I can replace a patient drama scene, its role playing and its consequences, as the patient instead sharing a heartfelt confession with the provider.
Yes. So I will occasionally have to do patient drama, which is when my character sabotages their own care, because how else would you make a medical show interesting? So I will do some dramatic thing that makes it harder for you to do your job. But you can prevent that one time.
Good to know.
Dr. V, what is your power?
Well, Necro makes total sense. I can revive the patient once for free.
There you go. Does what it says on the tin. And as an administrator, you can...
I can refresh another character's burnout instantly. Does that mean get them expertise back?
Yes, which could be very powerful if you guys don't want to have a medical drama scene because I'm dead and there's a little like urgency. You could get somebody an extra tease back to work an extra shift, you know. So how about you, Zoe?
So Raquel, being angelic, can apparently wipe out all counters currently in the progression track. I assume this is a good thing?
Yes. So as as you guys do scenes, I move forward in the progression track. When I reach the end of my track, the condition goes down and I restart. So basically you would, depending on how many units are in the progression track, you could do a lot to add time to solve the case.
Okay.
Especially since you have a time psychiatrist.
And my lab tech ability actually marries out really well with that, is I can perform one test without expending any expertise. Assuming this is a game where we are all working together.
Yes.
If you guys need tests done, I would be the person to ask, since I will not consume my expertise doing it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. There you go. And then V?
So because I'm blessed, I can allow one other provider to reuse their specialization power?
Yes. So somebody who has a one-use power could have a two-use power.
That's pretty great. Mm-hmm. And then being an internist, patients may describe the results of a test as if it had already been tested, revealed through medical history, clear symptomatic presentation, or whatever.
Yes. So I would house epiphany you, basically.
Great.
I will just drop the answer in your lap via a line of dialogue. Yeah. And then finally, Nurse Plague Fellow.
Well, as an alchemical nurse, I can suppress a bothersome symptom for a scene.
Yeah, so the problem on my end as the patient is as I start role-playing symptoms and I get worse, my previous symptoms will still be there. So it will get harder and harder to get information out of me, but suppressing a symptom would help that, yeah.
Mm. And as a regular old nurse, I can diagnose ones for free without spending expertise, so perhaps with Raquel we can do a little synergy.
Yeah, so that's what all your specialties do. You know that the man thinks he's reporting a public health crisis and whistleblowing from the TSA, and he wants to see a medical professional. That's all you know so far until someone goes to talk to him, but those are all expertise spends.
Before we leap in, I have two questions.
Yeah.
One, is there a way to increase the space in between the condition degenerating? You said the tracker has one space on it right now. Is there a way to make that?
Yes, that would be the treat action.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then two, if hypothetically you die,
mm-hmm.
and you are revived, do you return to healthy?
Oh no, critical.
I didn't think so.
Yeah. You need to cure me to return me to healthy. Yeah. That said, I did not start this episode by saying we're doing a very special episode where death is real. So you could just keep reviving me in an endless nightmare until you figure it out by trial and error. But
actual purgatory.
Yeah.
I love this so much. This is really why Baron is upset, because we just keep reviving over and over. And he's like, can you just for once just let it be mine? And of course, the answer is no.
Please, my army is failing.
I have to wonder, though, if it's a contract, like if you ever treated in this hospital, is your body given to the hospital afterwards? Or are we going to run into some legalities for raising certain people from the dead?
Well, maybe you guys are shirking the bureaucracy that demands that because you're loose cannons. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think the topic of evil HMOs is for the sequel to this game, which will be a horror about the medical insurance system.
Yeah. Look out for Caleb Stokes's next one shot.
Yeah, in the book, the insurance providers are just vampires. Like literal vampires. Yeah, that's all you know. So I would suggest diagnosing. That's usually a good way to start. Because you'll get an idea of symptoms. Yeah.
Sounds great. So we just pop in?
Someone will have to spend an expertise to begin the scene. Anyone else can pop in after that, but I can only reveal one symptom per expertise.
I can start with an expertise then and diagnose.
Okay, so Stanislav is sitting nervously in an exam room when you come in. How do you introduce yourself?
Good morning, Mr. Stanislav, is it?
Yes. Yeah.
I am Dr. Quark. I will be speaking with you today. Apparently you had an emergency to report.
My God, you are so menacing with your mini watches.
I'm so sorry. They're
you part tick, of tick, tick like the hand of death.
Okay. And is that something that worries you very often?
Yes, very much so. Okay. I need to talk to the doctor who is not terrifying like you.
Oh, I'm sure we can provide you another doctor.
You must understand the elf cocaine. They smuggle it in the dragons that come through Newark Airport. It will sweep through the streets. It's very strong.
I see. I start taking notes on my clipboard. You've encountered these dragon smuggling elf cocaine dragons recently?
Yes, the Stanislavs, we have a long family tradition of orifice checking for customs in New York. Dragons, unicorns, centaurs with long police records at Interpol. You must be professional to do these things.
My woman,
throw away the stethoscope. That's where they keep the microphones.
I understand.
He then huddles into a corner. Yeah.
I feel like I just take some notes. Patient is experiencing paranoia. Is there? I'm gonna pop my head out in the hall and see if there's and snag a passing nurse who I'm hoping is Nurse Plague Fellow.
None other. My beak pokes into most situations.
I feel like you're not going to be more helpful because he's terrified of these watches. But I think we have a small situation. We've got a patient experiencing some paranoia and just bringing up a situation involving elf cocaine.
Elf cocaine? I can't say I've heard of that, but it sounds like it would be terribly imbalancing to his humors. Could I speak with the gentleman?
Sure. And I'm going to let Nurse Plague Fellow into the room.
Dr. Quark, you see the Stanislavs have gone very pale. His condition has actually decreased to good.
Well, shit.
And in one more turn, it's going to decrease again. He got a bad roll on the progression track. It's progressing quite quickly.
Okay.
It might be worth it to stabilize him and get that track a little less steep.
I literally have no idea how I'm going to do that.
Someone could spend expertise to treat that would add progression tracks.
I could certainly provide treatment upon Dr. Quark's revelation that, we're dealing with paranoia. I know precisely how to deal with this sort of situation. I'll pop in, black cloak billowing, and I'll say, hello, sir. The doctor is in. Well, not doctor, officially. I was a fruit stand owner before this, but how can I help you today?
You don't have a medical degree?
Oh, no. I have my RN, but...
Oh, thank God. You are not one of them.
Not one of what? Are you speaking about heretics?
Them. Your horns, though, are quite large. It makes you look menacing, but you have kind face. You have horns?
I do not have horns, but I'll sort of just like...
He's looking for horns. There's nothing up there. He's looking at
I'm just
at
lightly
him,
touching my plague mask. Like, I guess I'm kind.
Fascinating. And I'm going to keep writing notes.
Sir, you seem a little bit distressed there. Would you say you've an overabundance of blood?
No. My blood levels are within TSA regulations.
That's where most
criminals smuggle illegal blood, is in hearts. No one looks there. But Stanislav knows.
Of course. But.
So are you treating him or diagnosing him? Because he cannot reveal new symptoms without diagnosing.
I am treating this gentleman.
How do you make him feel better?
I open my cloak up and reveal several vials of leeches. I look over each before I grab one with a particularly large green one. Say, oh, sir, this won't hurt just a bit, but it seems that you have an overabundance of sanguine, so our little friend here is going to help you feel calmer. And I'll just...
Oh, leeches, like mother used to use.
Yeah, so he feels better with the leeches. So you've got another scene before his condition worsens to fair.
I just
so you bought some time. Yeah,
I just give Plaguefellow like an eye roll. Of course, it's leeches. It's always leeches.
Yeah. So you can meet with the care team and discuss strategy. That's free. Yeah, whatever you guys want to do.
I think we do need to have a meeting.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes, definitely.
Yes. You've been summoned to the meeting.
Oh, God, Baron, again with these meetings. It really cuts into our time taking care of patients when I'm constantly being pulled off the floor to have a meeting.
Like Dr. Shannon does any treatment. But what did you have for us, Dr. Baron?
Well, as I'm sure you've seen on the intake paper, our patient today works for the magical TSA at New York Airport. And I cannot stress to you how important and lucrative this hospital's blood testing contracts with the TSA are. It would not look good for us come contract renewal time to have failed to treat one of their employees.
We're working on it. We just received the, we've just started working with him. Has anyone seen anything that might manifest in paranoia and perhaps demon ideation?
I mean, looking at his chart, it sounds to me like he's cursed. He's got hallucinations.
Oh yes,
he has. You can horns. Test for that. Yeah,
I anticipated this as technophobia.
You think technophobia? How
but
so?
He saw. Okay. Yes. How so?
Fear of the watches as well as the stethoscope.
That is true.
Oh, Raguel, you're so clever.
He saw horns on Plaguefellow's head, though.
Perhaps a further symptom?
One more diagnosis, perhaps?
I could spend one for free, so...
I believe our lab tech can also run a test if we'd like to confirm that it's a curse or not.
Indeed, I shall run a test on the supernatural nature of his disease. Perhaps that can clarify.
So you should have a way to enter the test. So, what is the name of the test you're running?
Well, our leading...
What symptom are you testing for?
We are testing for hallucinations. So, Raquel, what I actually need you to order for me is actually an olfactory follicle combustion test.
There you go. So, on the DSM, you should be able to click that and do test for symptom.
Test succeeded?
Then that is positive. So, that is... what the person have. They don't have paranoia. They have hallucinations. So I'm going to reveal the category. So whatever I have, it is within the cursed category.
Oh, excellent.
So it is brilliant. One of those five families within there.
Thank you for that suggestion, Dr. I just forgot your name. Dr. Shannon.
Dr. Shannon.
Yes, of course. As we are discussing, I leave suddenly to my lab, then return. I have returned and the test is positive.
Oh, praise be.
This is why Raquel is my bestie. As a doctor, it's very important to make friends with the lab techs.
Strong words coming from a heretic.
Raquel, thank you for your work.
Take your leeches and go, Nurse Plaguefellow.
You are very welcome.
It smells like smoke in here. Who has been burning my nostril hair?
I turn and I look at Raquel.
It's the holy light of the Lord that burns out his nostrils.
Never mind.
Oh my God.
That.
It totally
is. She just walks in and holds up her lab.
Be not afraid.
She walks in and holds up her lab tech badge and it just radiates this like flesh searing light that just burns out the nostril hairs.
To be fair, if I had Perfect. To do a test that involved like blood, I was going to say, give unto me your blood.
Be not afraid of the needle.
All right. So, yeah. Anyone with expertise can perform an action. You guys can propose medical drama and try and regain some expertise. Those of you that have spent some, specializations. You guys determine the treatment plan. I react to you. So
I'm burned out, so I'm waiting for someone else.
Yeah, I can diagnose for free, so I was just going to hop in.
Yeah, do it.
After I'm told to go with my leeches, I ought to see to the patient. So I will walk back into the room. Hello, Dr. Sen. Not doctor. Hello, sir. How are you feeling? Don't worry about the smoky smell.
It's good. It is very good. You have very strong leeches. I can't. They like my face. He's trying to pull a leech off, and it's just kind of like gummy worming back. He can't quite get it off. Like,
oh, that's Cookie Cutter. She's a little eager, and I'll just lightly tickle her back and let her curl off and put her back into my jacket.
Is this one too? They are all very strong leeches.
I feed them myself.
I am exhausted. I need to get back to work. There's a double. There are many flying monkeys coming in for an international shipment. They hide all sorts of things in them. It is disgraceful.
Oh, of course. I understand that, but you can't be spreading things at work. After all, if these agents, so-called, find you.
I must go. He gets up and he sort of almost falls down. Almost collapses. So he has revealed another symptom. And he is just, he's sitting again. It's up to you to figure out what that symptom is. His condition has decreased a fair, though.
At this point, the administrator is going to step in, not treating anybody. That's not what we do. I have an MBA. Thank you very much. but I will poke my head into the office just in time to see Nurse Plaguefellow pulling this engorged tube of leech off of the man. Sigh slightly. Plaguefellow.
Oh. Doctor. Oh, God, I can't remember your name. How do I pronounce it?
Yes. Oh, can't remember the name. I've been running this department for 7,000 years.
Well, pardon me. I've only been in practice since the 1600s.
I'm terribly sorry. Plaguefellow, don't you have a test to run or an owl to consult?
Well, as you can see, my dear Cookie Cutter here isn't that right, sweetie. She has told me that the man here is suffering from acute exhaustion. His blood isn't running quite as quickly.
Oh, then I'm sure you know exactly what to do with that information. In the meantime, and he just, not walking, glides across the floor to Stanislav's side. I'm going to treat to buy you all some time to do the medical stuff. But he's going to be the administrator who notices, like, the rich donor patient. So he's coming inside. No. Officer Stanislav, have my staff been treating you well?
Yes. You have MBA?
Yes, sir.
Yes, you're not one of them filthy quacks who work here. So yes, you are good.
Is there anything that I can get for you? And then I'll like surreptitiously start like fluffing his pillow, checking the angle on the medical bed.
So you suck up to him to the point where he has increased his progression. So you've got three whole turns before he gets worse.
Who's got expertise left?
I do.
I do.
In that case, have it.
So what are you testing for?
Well, a patient that presents with lethargy, especially coming back with a curse diagnostics, that screams to me that it's part of the Greek family, which means that we have to do a Fates and Furies consultation, obviously.
Describe what that is and then enter that test onto your DSM. Yeah, test for that specific symptom.
I'll just hand over the leech.
The Fates and Furies of the hospital, they're literally, they just sit up in a boardroom all day waiting to be consulted. So I take the leech from Nurse Plaguefellow, just holding it in between two fingers, and I walk up to the boardroom and I wait because, of course, there's somebody else in there when I show up, as is the way. And I walk inside and I pop open the little vial and I dump the leech out onto the table, and it does its gross, slimy, leech crawl across the table and wait for the Fates and Furies to decide whether or not it is in fact Greek.
I will happily roleplay it, but you have to test first because I don't know what I have. So you would have to enter in that test and then tests for super. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Ooh, I'm wrong. It's definitely not Greek. That's interesting.
Yeah, the Fury just is doing her nails. She looks down at the lady. She's like, not today.
I'm sorry. What?
No, not that one.
Hold on 1 second. And I reach over and I grab the vial just to make sure that it has Cookie Cutter's nameplate on it, just to make sure that Nurse Plaguefellow didn't mess up and give me the wrong leech, because, oh my God, how embarrassing would that be? But no, it says Cookie Cutter, and I'm wrong?
Girl, I know leeches. We used them all the time back in the day. That is no Greek leech. Yeah, it's a negative test. So it is not that.
Crap.
Eliminate that entire family.
Fascinating. Yeah.
I mean, well, now I guess it could be a natural presentation instead of a supernatural presentation, but that's upsetting. And I unfortunately have to deal with Cookie Cutter, so I'll be indisposed trying to get her back into her tiny.
Does anyone else have expertise left?
I do. I'm actually going to run another test.
Oh,
I'm
no,
going
there's to... problems.
There's problems.
I have patient drama. I'm sorry.
Okay. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
What are you doing right now?
Right now, I am probably milling about the lab.
Okay. As you're milling about the lab, you hear the door surreptitiously open, and you see Stanislav stumble in his hospital gown. He starts sticking various pill bottles under his shirt.
Sir, those are not permitted for your use.
I thought I was supposed to get this and the nurse.
And... Return them to the cabinet or face the wrath of my lord.
You do not understand. They are so cruel to me at the TSA. I must supply them with their contraband, or else they will kill my mother.
This is a technical question. Do I need to make one of my expertises to solve the situation, or is it just a role play kind of check thing?
You have to spend expertise to prevent the theft, or later I will do more medical drama, and this situation will get worse.
Well, if you have expertise and you want to use it to stop this, then I can spend the next scene doing a medical melodrama dressing down of my rival to get us some points back.
Yes, medical drama is necessary to refill your expertise.
I do not have the... I have burnout right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you spend the expertise or not?
I do. I'm going to spend my expertise. And what happens is, as he's arguing with me, trying to take all the pills, I just basically turn into a shaft, pillar of light in the middle of the laboratory. And in the most menacing voice say, you will relinquish those drugs now and head to your room.
What does this word mean, relinquish?
Put them down.
Oh, okay. Yes, I will do that. I'm sorry. Sorry to interrupt. Yes, I go. He leaves. Yeah.
Okay, once he's safely out of my lab, I reorganize everything and continue just sort of milling about.
So his progression is decreased. He'll have two more before his condition worsens. You know that because you have a time psychiatrist. But yeah, I think you're all burned out. So somebody needs medical drama, which you can just pick the scene you want, or you can let it auto-generate one for you. And anybody who participates in the scene gets their expertise back for being overly dramatic. Yeah.
I'm not going to miss the opportunity to just be a huge dick to Dr. Shannon for wasting hospital resources and point out all of her flaws in front of the entire team.
Okay, but hold on just a second, because I'm going to talk shit about Dr. Plaguefellow, who obviously did shit wrong with the leech. So I think she should spend her expertise because she'll get it back when she joins in on that scene.
All right.
Okay.
This yeah, is you could chain it into a fast. Big disastrous row at lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. I'm ready for this.
Oh, no.
All right. What are you doing then, Nurse Plaguefellow?
All right. I push back any fear that I have about my beloved cookie cutter being mishandled in any way. But for now, we need to see what this gentleman has. And his tests have come up negative for what we originally thought. I'll perform a stress test. He may be suffering from just simple musculoskeletal weakness. Back in my day, we'd use weasel feet to handle that, but no matter. Let's perform that weakness test.
I can still get you the weasel feet.
This is why I love you, my dear. Regardless, hello, sir. Well, we just need to perform a few tests. Don't worry, I'll be super quick.
All right, test for it.
All right.
I want to know how you test someone for stress with weasel feet. I'm waiting for this.
All right. First, let me go through it. All right. Let me test natural. Test succeeded.
Yes. It is. It is a successful test. How'd you do it?
Well, you see, back when I first started practicing, you see, I used to be a fruit saleswoman before the Black Death hit us all. What we would do is, well, the ferrets would get into our stalls, and I realized that taking their feet, cutting them off while they're still alive, you see, you want the vita still, and rubbing them upon the sternum reveals weakness, because the sanguine essence of a ferret's blood added to the skin of a weak man will give him a sudden burst of life and will quickly vanish.
So in weasel feet blood, it just spells weakness on his chest, so that's pretty clear. He's definitely got something in the musculoskeletal category. So, again, it's within those five families of musculoskeletal, whatever the disease is, and his total disease will be a combination of both the super and the natural diseases. So good job.
Well, this is not going as quickly as I planned, even though I gave them specific instructions to take this seriously and treat this patient with the utmost of their care. So as I'm making my rounds of the upper floors, I will notice that there's a billing entry for a Fate and Furies consultation that was definitely not approved. The second I see whose name on it, it's not even pagers. We have pixies for this. I summon the male pixies to fly out and bring the team together.
Okay. There's another meeting. Everyone loves those. So what medical drama are you doing there, Baron?
From the list, I would pick Dr. Jerk as the medical drama.
Yeah, what's the prompt say for that?
One provider condescends to other providers to relieve stress.
There you go. Hit it. Yeah.
Once the team is seated, I'm going to make eye contact with everybody but Dr. Shannon and say, apropos of nothing, can somebody tell me the proper moments in which to order a Fate and Furies consultation, one of the most expensive tests in this hospital?
Can I actually be late to this meeting?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I want to miss the dressing down.
I lean back in my chair, noticing that he has not looked at me, and I just cross my arms and roll my eyes so hard, because of course he's going to bring up the budget. We are under time constraints, and he's seriously picking now to talk about finances.
Not just finances. In fact, on that topic, it's strange to me that we pay our internist so much when the nurse is the one who correctly identifies the symptoms without ordering. Oh, excuse me. Do you have something to say?
Yes, I do. Because if it wasn't for the nurse's leeches, which somehow we allow inside this hospital, I believe that Fates and Furies consultation would have gone a lot differently.
I beg your pardon. You stressed Cookie Cutter out. I saw the way you were manhandling her with your...
Manhandling? I don't believe that holding her vial between two fingers very gingerly so as to not get any of her slime on me is manhandling.
The Starbucks comes in with drinks and then very slowly recedes.
Oh, thank you, Starbucks.
As Starbucks leaves.
Well, she needs tender, loving care. It's what the Ellen Leach stands for. Love. And you, Dr. Shannon, have none of that in your heart.
All right, that's good.
The NBA has his clipboard out, and with one hand, he's holding the clipboard. With the other hand, he's writing down disciplinary notes. And with his established third hand, he reaches out to get the coffee from the Starbucks.
Yeah, he got confused. It's a weasel feet mocha. Everyone participating in that awkward scene gets an expertise back.
Rip, I didn't get a chance to involve myself, but it's fine.
Oh, no, you can can find, like, you can see that it was about you. Like, yeah, if you want to show up and just ask everyone what happened.
I think
as they leave.
I'm going to choose this time to enter late because I'm a little unmoored from time. And you actually see another Dr. Quark walk by in the background holding a time turner. Just like collected these things.
As I see Dr. Quark, I have the coffee in my hand and I walk up and I say, oh, you made it. Well, you know what they say. I mean, even a broken clock is right two times a day. And just like making very awkward middle-aged white man flirting at work flirting.
But you're just a legend. Oh, wow. And I'll just take the weasel foot coffee from him. Oh, is this for me?
The Starbucks brought it. It's a weasel foot mocha. I've heard you. That's your favorite, right?
Oh, I developed a taste for them in the medieval ages. You're such a good friend. And I'm just going to elbow him a little bit and walk into the conference room.
Visibly deflates, like, down into the floors, like, sinking into a pool of shadow.
The grin on my face is enormous.
This is amazing. The single eye in the apex of my many swirling appendages kind of narrows a little bit. Before I start speaking, Baron Verbal Tongue.
Yes. It just poofs back into existence. Yes.
I must speak with you about the budget. I find your cutting of corners in recent situations to cause problems in my lab. We could use more security as our patient has broken his way in and tried to steal drugs.
He looks down the hallway, speaking loud enough for everyone on the floor to hear it. Well, if some people had ordered the correct tests, we wouldn't be leaving him unsupervised, would we? Now, yes, I'm sorry. I'll bring it up at the next quarterly meeting.
I storm out of the office, pushing Baron V into the door as I leave. I am in no mood to deal with this any longer. If he says the word budget to me one more time.
Was there a problem with the test? I can't imagine you would do anything like that, Baron. You couldn't allow anything like that, would you?
Unfortunately, he starts making bureaucratic excuses about how it takes, 17 different write-ups over a period of an aeon in order to actually get somebody fired from this hospital.
Oh, but you've always been too kind to fire anyone, and I ruffle his head again.
Just his bare skull. Yeah, like, I imagine the lich's hair is, like, coming out as you ruffle it.
just hand it back to you.
Bald, flaky skin coming off the top from his thousands-of-year-old body. All right, so you have your expertise back, and we can get back to actually saving this man's life.
His condition has decreased to serious while you guys were having a fight in the whiteboard room. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Would this be an opportune time to roll back his symptoms, or is it too late at this point?
What do you mean by that? Using your specialty?
Yeah, my angelic to bring him back from this condition to, like, back a few steps.
You can actually suppress one of his symptoms. So you know of weakness and you know of hallucinations. So you could suppress hallucinations and make him more lucid.
Ooh. Actually, that might be...
For a diagnosing, yeah.
In irritation, because for whatever reason, Baron V gives me this kind of uncomfortableness to me, I go back to the patient's room, glare at them for about a second or two before saying, I will heal you of one of your ailments, and then I promptly leave, having removed the paranoia from him. Or hallucinations, rather?
Yes. So he will still have that, but that symptom is now suppressed, so it's not going to appear for the rest of the game. So,
sweet.
Anyone who has a diagnosis scene will not have the hallucinations on top of it. Yeah.
Do you just want to diagnose while you're there, Zoe?
Yeah, actually. Given that I am currently in the room as well, I will continue to linger there and then say, now what ails you?
Oh, you came back. I wanted to say thank you. It was nice not to be terrified of snakes in air.
Snakes and air, you say?
What?
I feel much better. I now trust doctors and understand. Could you get something about the leeches eating me from the inside? I want to claw my stomach open and remove them, but my hands, they are very weak. And they consume me from my innards in a sort of nightmarish hell.
I will report this to your doctors, and the clipboard
I am
will
looking
levitate.
On button for leeches consume me for nurse's station. I cannot find there to me. I keep going to Animal Planet.
I will press a button for him. It's not exactly the leeches are consuming me from the inside button, but it's, you know, a button. Perhaps it'll summon one of the doctors or the nurse to confirm this.
Oh, the bit. Moves. Could you come back? The bed is Yeah, he's just going up and down on the bed now. Yeah.
No, morphine. Morphine is Latin for remove leeches. Trust me.
I do think our leech nurse should be the one to cure his leeches or figure out test for his leeches because that's comical to me.
I think the symptom that he gave off was parasitophobia.
Yeah, exactly. So the test is a sternum knock and response.
The sound of the bed squeaking back and forth in mechanical agony, of course, attracts Dr. Baron V, who has been watching this patient with his many eyes. So he comes inside. He hears the conversation with Raquel about the parasites, starts tapping his chin. No. This isn't medical. I've heard about this before. Lots of experience with wriggly things inside of people. Mr. Stanislav, would you mind? Can I open the front of your gown, please?
Yeah, he's busy trying to get the bed to stop. Yeah, so it's fallen. He's just sort of stabbing at it like Ahab. Yeah, it won't stop going up and down.
I will assist and press the button once again, just so the Baron can do the test properly.
Yeah, he exhaustedly collapses and his chest is exposed. Yeah.
So the test is a sternum knock and response. So Baron V leans forward and presses his ear to Stanislav's sternum and tells a knock-knock joke. So he's looking for the leeches and he goes, leeches? Knock-knock? So I will test for that under super. Test succeeded.
Who's there? Very quiet.
Orange.
Aren't you?
Mm-hmm. And then he just looks knowingly over at Raquel.
You're
this
not
man has parasitophobia.
You're not gonna finish.
Yeah, the room shakes. Orange, who? Yeah. Yeah, it's positive.
Baron V is not funny. He does not tell jokes.
Yeah, and the leeches, because you know this with your friendship with me, leeches will immediately begin giggling when they hear any sort of joke, even before it's finished. So no giggles, no leeches.
So that's a confirmed test for parasitophobia in the family infestation for super. So it's either demonic, fae, Lilliputanic, or ghostly.
You now have to deal with additional patient drama.
Great.
And it's the family. So some providers roleplay family members to Stanislav. Family members cause conflict with other providers while the patient is unconscious. Expertise is removed from any provider dealing with the family, but refilled in any provider outside the scene. So who is jumping on the grenade of dealing with Stanislav's awful family, which is also you.
Oh, Clara, this is perfect for you because you can have like a big family meeting about it while they're there.
Oh my God. Sure. I was going to suggest actually, because I can also just make us not have this problem.
No, that's what I mean. Because the scene is you getting like a heartfelt family revelation out of this moment. So you can use that power while they're all here and like have a...
Yeah, let's do that. Where's our patient at on the timeline?
He is in serious condition, and in one more scene, he will drop to critical.
Yeah, we're going to have a nice family talk.
Okay.
So Stanislav is unconscious. All of you have to be family members. So who's he related to? Yeah. Just pick something.
His great, great grandmother.
Very good. Also works for the TSA. Yeah, the whole family. Anybody else want to be in there, or is it just Granny?
I'll be the cranky grandfather.
Okay.
I'm going to be the adopted daughter that he picked up from the TSA because, you know, some people smuggle in the weirdest things, and here I am.
Oh, God.
Okay.
And I'll be his sister.
Yeah, they're all in the room. Who's left? Who's jumping on the...
It's me. I think it's just me.
It's just
yeah,
you.
Yeah, how do yep. you deal with this? A whole squad of elderly, variously interested in what's going on, TSA people show up to the room, you know, making just such a racket. What are they talking about? Yeah.
Well, I'm obviously trying to get the unconscious daddy Stanislav to play games with me. I'm trying to shove like puzzle pieces into his hand. And yeah, orchestrate him actually doing the puzzle himself and getting angry when he doesn't do it right.
You see, this is the problem. They made all the medicine in the fantasy world free for everybody, and the quality of care plummets. Back in my day, you had to bring a whole treasure trove of dragon gold with you, and you know what? When they saw that gold, they came to you right away. None of this waiting. None of these tests.
Grandpa, it's a new generation.
Dad, you and your generation with your fast little single person broomsticks flying around without a license. It's a shame.
Yes, Grandpa, I know, I know. It's terrible.
Oh, you've got to get him out of here. It's like $1 million baby. Yeah.
Grandpa was talking about brooms.
Grooms? Is someone getting married?
No, brooms, Ma, brooms.
I'm dying.
Clara, come fix this quick.
As this conversation is going on, I'm busying myself with the buttons on his, you know, life support. Just kind of like wiggling this and that, and just like, Dad's not playing with me.
This is about the time I'm gonna walk in, and again in the background, we're blowing a budget this season on just doppel like extras that kind of look like me. there's just two more walking past, you know, on various calls. I hope I'm not late. Are you the family?
Who's this?
I'm Dr. Quark. I'm the psychiatrist treating your
Psychiatrist? Is there something wrong with his brain? Doctor? Psychiatrist?
Okay. It's not a brain silo.
No, Ma, the brain. And I motion, yes, I point at my head.
There was a hallucinogenic element earlier, but we are clearing that up. I just, we are at this a point in this patient's treatment where it's important for the family to be notified that there is something, something might be wrong, but also studies have shown that being around family can really lift the patient's spirits and help them resume the will to live.
Just like my first husband before he went to join the Lord.
What is the effect of your power? I have forgotten. I'm sorry.
I can replace the patient drama scene, and then instead the patient will share a heartfelt confession with the provider. And I sort of feel like in this case, someone's going to have to make a miraculous recovery.
Oh, well, no, because we have like the healing power of family. So why doesn't the new age daughter suggest we all like hold hands in a circle around him and hum?
Sure. That's a good idea. Well, but like, but new age daughter is like apparently four. So,
well, I mean, it works. The grandparents are very actually down with the humming because they kind of fall asleep midway through doing it. But it's far more therapeutic than them screaming. Grandma had a crock pot for some reason. God knows what they were planning to do in here, but the situation is diffused. Thank God.
We were going to cook, obviously. What else do you do in a hospital?
I was going to bring him his favorite elf meatballs.
First the elf Starbuck cocaine, now the elf meatballs.
Yeah. So no one has to give up expertise, and you've shooed them off.
Except me.
No, the specialization.
No, because your specialty.
So,
oh, yes.
Yeah. The time psychiatrist saved the day.
Right, so I don't have expertise now, so someone else will have to take the next action.
Mm-hmm. I can definitely test while I'm still in here. But do we need a test or diagnosis right now?
I don't think we know what his next...
Yeah, I think we need a diagnosis.
We have the cursed infestation, so you could diagnose the super part of the disease. We only know that it's musculoskeletal, so we still have to figure out the family on the natural side.
Yeah, you can also roll the dice. So now you know that you're in the infestation family, right?
Yeah.
So you could just test for a random disease out of that four and hope you get it.
I mean, either one's going to affect the progress tracker. So I think
Yeah, I mean, I have one of my specialties is that I can a patient may describe the results of a test as if it had already been tested. So if you guys wanted me to test for something, I can just be like, yes, of course. Did somebody come in here and do this test for you already?
So yeah, you would have to spend that and then someone would spend diagnosis, but then I get to describe it by name as if it was already decided. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can diagnose then.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys got to double up, like use your specialization power. And then the other one's going to really reach into Stanislav's heart and get a.
Literally.
Heartfelt confession.
Want to team up V and do this?
Absolutely, because you're my crush. So any time I get to spend with you is great.
Yeah. So I think as the family is like wrapping up their kumbaya cookout situation.
Oh my God, that's what I was going to call it.
I think we should get back to some testing and really get to the bottom of this now that hopefully he's doing a little better. Are you feeling a little bit better, Mr. Stanislav?
Yes. I feel as if my mother was here. I imagined her in my dreams.
I see. And do you dream about your mother often?
No. I thought I heard her voice. She always made me feel better when my appendicular cellent had messed up. You know, when you are a child and you experience stiffness in your appendicular skeleton. Yes.
I will take this time to point out that I have a degree in psychiatry. Yes, that part of the body.
I feel as if I can tell you anything.
Thank you. That makes me feel that's my job.
Especially about the cartilage formations in my body.
Yes, the cartilage formations, and I look at Dr. Shannon. Is that a thing?
Absolutely a thing.
Okay, it's been a minute since, you know.
I put my hand on Dr. Quark's shoulder. I know, it's a. There's a lot to remember. There's a lot to remember. Our job is not easy.
He has passed out. He is not doing well. He has decreased to critical condition.
We should fix that.
I mean, I'm less concerned because I can just bring him back.
Yeah. But like Dr. Shannon and Dr. Quark are having like this moment, like this quiet lingering moment, and you just see him pass out in the background.
Oh God, like the heart monitor goes off. I actually can go in and like treat him if that would help.
I love the scene of like you hear like their heartbeats rising as V is flirting, but then you see in the background his heart line flatten because he's passed out.
Perfect. Just like an episode of Grey's Anatomy.
Exactly. 100%, yes, yeah. Absolutely.
So would you like me to go forward with treating him to get him out of critical?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, you can't get him out of critical. You can just you can expand the time it takes for critical to go to dead.
Oh, okay. Provide supplemental treatment. So I walk in on this heartwarming scene.
Heartwarming would probably expand his life, I imagine. Oh, did you say heartwarming or heartworming? Either way works.
No. I walk in. I take a look at the two. I'm like, God's grace, what are you two doing? The man is dying. And I rush over to the bed.
Shannon and I spring apart.
She's a psychiatrist. What do you expect her to do in this situation?
Oh, silence, harlot.
Nothing more romantic.
Jealous, are we?
Nothing more romantic than picking at your loved one's weaknesses.
Not picking at my lover's weaknesses, trying to protect my lover from the really, really mean nurse. That's all.
Pointing out my weaknesses.
Plaguefellow's quick intervention has slowed the deterioration of Mr. Stanislav, but
of course, cloves up the nose can help prevent immediate death.
There's less hair up there, so there's plenty of room for cloves. Yeah.
There's plenty of space for cloves.
Okay. So how long does he have until the next...
He has 3 more turns before he will die.
Okay.
We no idea if there's drama jobs. In there or not.
There's 2 things that we don't know. We need the disease for the super and the natural. That would be 4 to do 2 diagnoses and 2 tests, assuming that we got it right.
You can work off a hunch.
I still have my blessed ability, which allows another provider to reuse their specialization. So I can always call Raquel and be like, hey, run this test for me. And then that won't, cause like she can run tests without, increasing the tracker. So
can you only use that once though?
Not with her blessed specialty that allows you to reuse it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Doesn't someone have a diagnose for free power?
That was me and I spent mine, but I could be revived.
I could do that, actually. I could bless Dr. or Nurse Plaguefellow instead, and then she can diagnose for free, and that takes one of the things off our table.
I can't help it. I'm arch conservative here. Like, oh, it's a 1 in 4 chance of getting it right, and then if we don't, he's gonna die. I would rather like take the 2 guaranteed turns to get it right than guess wrong. So you know,
I just called you a harlot. How are you gonna?
Yeah, you did. You did.
Oh shit.
So walk this back and then maybe I'll bless you.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, you could bless her anyway and just stunt on her. Like, it's I'm above it.
Yeah, no, I know. I was kind of thinking that too. Oh my god. Yeah. So when Nurse Plaguefellow finishes dealing with the patient and turns to look at me with that glare, the I can't believe you.
It's just that fucking mask. My face does not change.
it's resting mask face. I walk up to her and I put both of my hands on her shoulder and I just say, Nurse Plaguefellow, I know that you go through a lot here at the hospital and I know that your unrequited love is just, it really reaches deep into who you are as a person. And I forgive you for that. And with that, I have blessed her and I turn around and I walk away.
Yeah.
But what that means for you, Abby, is that you can use your specialization in that moment. Now, again, you so.
I shake my head as she leaves. Calm my heart palpitations with a bit of smelling salt and then go to the patient to perform a diagnosis. I can't think about that too much. As a nurse, I will perform my diagnosis.
Stanislav briefly stirs as you come. Nurse Plaguefellow, is that you?
Yes, it is. Lord's grace upon you. I hope you're doing well.
You must tell my wife, Sarah Stanislav. That I love her and my son Simon, that he has always been a disappointment to me. These aren't my final wishes. So there you go.
Well, that's I believe it's Little Platonic.
I would believe that.
Yes, absolutely.
As he gives his last words, I nod, say, well, Lord, be with us. We're not going to have to do that. But I'll write them down. And I will speed out of the office. I will speed out of the room as quickly as I can.
This is that house moment where you, like, kick in the door, like, I know what it is.
Well, we only know part of it.
Jingling from all my jars.
We have one more thing to figure out.
Yes, we still have to figure out the natural element. So... Who has expertise left? I do.
I do not.
I think I do.
I also do not.
Okay.
We're going to kill this man.
No, we're not. We're not going to. Do not say that to me. It is a great day to save lives. I am not going to let this man go. Yeah, exactly.
Baron V is just up in his office, steepling his fingers. Like,
oh,
yes,
no, we're going to lose another one.
I know exactly how I'm going to get Baron V to use his powers, though.
I refuse.
He's looking at the org chart for the empty space where he can slot a zombie.
No, Out of sheer spite, I refuse to let this man die. Okay.
I mean, also, like, we took an oath.
That's true. We did.
An oath of spite. Yeah.
So, question: do we have to test for Lilliputanic to cure it, or we can okay?
You can operate on Hunts. Like Hunts, yeah. You could have cured him with your first move. If you were just like, I think it's this one.
Okay. So when that's the case, we don't need to test for Lilliputanic because the hissing was spot on. A plus hissing, Caleb. So all we have to do is
now we have to diagnose the natural. Yeah. Yep. Okay. So I mean, I guess I can diagnose. We're so close. We're so close to having this done.
He's gonna die in between your test and your diagnosis and my test.
yes, you have one more action. And then that'll take him to the end of the progression track, but it'll take one more to bring him down to dead. So you've got two actions left.
Oh God, it's right to the wire.
Yeah. So if you do a diagnose, and if we can get that diagnosis, then the next action can be to cure based on your diagnosis.
Exactly. Let's do it. We got it.
Okay. Don't get it wrong. Baron V is watching. I'm sorry. Don't get it wrong again. Baron V is watching.
Oh, Baron V can suck it. All right, we are getting to the end of this. I know we're working. All of this is coming together. Everything is coming together. We just have to figure out the last piece of the puzzle. So I rush in. I know we're running out of time. Let's go. Stanislav, how are you feeling?
He is unconscious, but covered in purple splotches.
Covered in purple splotches. Great.
That's his clavicle.
Exactly. It sounds like bruising to me. Widespread bruising.
The little people are kicking him in.
Oh, God. So, yeah, that took up a diagnose scene. He's beyond talking now. It's very bad.
Yeah.
If you think you know what he has, in order to cure, you need to spend an expertise. And then you need to have a medical drama scene called As You All Know and explain to the care team what Lilliputanic clavicle is, if you think that is it, and how it is cured.
I have an expertise.
Okay.
Great. I can do the As You All Know.
Go for it.
Yeah, call a meeting.
All right. I'm going to call the meeting for this cure. It's in my office, which is a former storage closet turned into psychiatrist's office, full of...
Is it larger on the inside than it looks on the outside?
It is.
Obviously.
However, it is lined with clocks, most of them broken. I haven't gotten around to fixing them. And I share it with three other versions of me that just keep coming in and out based on just... Because, you know, when you time travel on the same timeline, you sometimes run into yourself. Anyway. So I've called you all into our cramped, my very cramped storage closet. as you all know, I think I've solved this, actually.
Do tell.
As you all know, there's a disease you get when you interact with travelers most of the time, Gulliver very famously, but also people who hop worlds and timelines, etc. And as evidenced by some widespread bruising, as well as his unfortunate hissing before the patient passed out, I was definitely aware of that when that happened. obviously Mr. Stanislav is suffering from keep all of this in, Aaron.
You just take all the time you need. You have infinite timelines to get this word right.
Yep.
Lilliputanic clavicle.
Little?
I think.
Little is the first word there?
No.
Little? Lilliputanic? It's all those little... Anyway. They pronounce it the way I pronounced it. The silent T's.
Oh, yes. I forgot about the silent T's.
The silent T's of the Lilliputian people.
It's a British disease, right?
It is. It is. Right. It is specifically a Cockney disease.
So yeah, then now you have to prescribe the cure. How do you cure this disease?
Oh, do I just get to make up anything?
Yeah.
Please. Unfortunately for this version of Mr. Stanislav, there is not a lot that we can do for him on this timeline. However, my proposed cure is that we must go to an earlier point in this exact day and catch him before he contracts the disease from what I assume is a person flying through the air, flying through Newark.
Okay, so where's the hospital time portal?
Oh, it's the other storage closet that is also my office. But yes, they are connected by wormhole.
The solution is win for Baron still, because this Stanislav is doomed, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
But then it's paradox, and you're subject to paradox law.
Oh, that's an entirely different department. We're the hospital. Yeah. Time management. The time police work in a different building downtown.
Yeah. I like that my plan is throw the whole man out and get a new one.
No, I love the idea. I love the idea of all of us going into the time portal, barfing out of a window in space-time in Newark Airport, running down the concourse, looking for the flight coming in from Lilliputia to find the person who is smuggling in the brownies.
Well, it's a British disease, so you do find Stanislav about to open a cage full of Cockney shoremen from a Dickensian novel. But he's not wearing gloves. Oh my god!
Oh my god!
You get there in time.
This could have been prevented by easily with PPE.
yeah.
But yeah, we barge through a bat. So the thing is, this particular time machine that we're going to use, it does not matter where you go, where in time you go, but you need to come through a door. So we open a door that is to like a bathroom.
The Zabarro. Oh.
No, it's the Zabarro manager's office.
Yeah, so the whole crew shows up with big Zabarro slices in hand as he's getting ready to open the cage full of Cockney sailors. You could prevent this before it occurs.
Yeah, and just drop
Stanislav. Yeah, it's time Stanislav. For your lunch break.
Oh, good. He just leaves the Cockney sailors.
And then we start quarantining like the Cockney sailors, like with tape. I don't know how we do that.
What's
part.
All this then? They briefly put up a fight, but you all deloused them for little Putins, and the outbreak is contained.
Thank goodness.
So when you return to your own timeline, Stanislav is healthy again because he never showed up. So you saved a life. Congratulations.
Hey!
We did it!
So at the end of a game of Phase Anatomy, we do a totally original thing that no one's ever thought of before called Scrubbing Out. Normally, if you're playing in person, you just pick a song on your phone if you are considered the most valuable role player and play it while everyone montage describes ending their day at the hospital. But since this is a podcast and we can't get sued, just vote on who you think the most valuable, the VIP player was, and they can just describe what song we all hear as your doctors montage the end of another day saving lives. So who do you think wins the MVP for today's life-saving provider crew?
I think Aaron.
with my true to life, actually evil hospital administrator.
I actually really think it's Zoe, because her angelic voice was really, really great, and just it was fantastic. So I'm
completely
voting Zoe.
Without feeling.
Yeah, I loved Zoe, because just like the voice of God booming out medical instructions. But
you
also
know, I'm changing my vote to Zoe too.
All right, Zoe. So what song plays as everyone ends their day?
Oh no.
It's got to be a time song. Like,
I was going to go with Closing Time.
That's going to be like a sad
song. Oh, Closing
Scrubs.
Time is good. Mm. I like
there
Closing
we go.
Time.
Closing Time would yep. work.
Yep.
All right. Closing Time's playing. So what are you doing, Baron V, to end your day?
Oh, well, it's a bit morose. I've lost another opportunity. I'm back in the office. The protesters are still there, but my heart's just not in summoning swarms of bats to attack them. So I'm back at my org chart. I have to cross out the part where I had inserted Stanislav, just my heart throbbing with anger. But as I look around the treatment team, I see Dr. Quark, and I have my pen, and I just draw a heart around it before leaning down, still drawing with the one hand, Staglord cup in the other, leaning down on my established third hand, chin in it, and just lament.
All right. Dr. Quark, how about you?
As everyone starts to wind down, I get my fifth coffee from the Starbuck and start heading to my DeLorean, pausing again to sign another petition. I'm pretty sure every version of me from every timeline has signed it now. It's just lines and lines of the same name. You have to understand, I've been through a lot of protests.
Yeah.
And I look at all my watches and pop into the DeLorean and say, and just go, I'm running late, and then hop in and vanish in a puff of smoke off to have another time adventure. And then another one of me just walks by in the background to do night shift.
There's always a Dr. Quark deviling.
Yeah.
Dr. V.
Our extras budget is crazy.
That's going to really complicate our romantic relationship in season 7.
It really is.
The will they, won't they. The whole show fell apart after they gave that up. Abby, you're up.
I head to my locker after hanging up my oiled robes and taking off my mask. And there's a bouquet of dead rats with a card dedicated to Raquel. But my expression turns thoughtful as I take a pen. I stole it. I'm going to get chewed out for it later, but let's face it, I need it for now. I cross out her name and put Dr. Shannon instead before I bravely pick up the bouquet and walk out the room.
Oh.
Nice.
She's an angelic being. I'm but a mortal. It couldn't work out.
Avi?
It's been a long day. It's been a rough day talking about finance and everything. It just, Dr. Baron V just knows how to rub me the wrong way. So as I walk out of the hospital, look over my shoulder, look at that big, tall building, I pull out my phone and I text Raquel and ask her if she'd like to grab a drink, because you know what? It's just been one of those days.
Finally.
So as the final light in the lab clicks off and I look at my phone and respond to the message I just received with, there's something I must do first. And I transport myself in front of Baron Verwaltung and I just say, you intrigue me and depart upon me a great deal of confusion. You are a disgusting effigy of life, and while the creation of Nephilim is forbidden by my lord, I would greatly consider it. If it was with you. And that's where I want to end it.
Oh my god.
Next time. On Hippo of Great General. Yeah.
The camera doesn't even pan to his reaction. It's just her face.
So yeah, exactly. See. Yep.
Yeah,
100%.
It's like a Who Shot JR moment. But
yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Oh my god.
So yeah, that's a game of Phase Anatomy. Thanks for playing.
Immediately.
Oh my god. It was so ridiculous.
That was awesome. It was so much fun.
Cool. Yeah, so well, the rules are done and the app will be up if we hit that stretch goal once the Kickstarter's finished. So everyone can start playing and then we'll get working on the book. Yeah.
It's like Fiasco, but it doesn't make me sad.
Good. I'll take that. Yeah.
I'm glad this isn't being recorded for posterity. That would be very embarrassing.
We may have been sad if we lost the patient, but we didn't. We did a good job.
At least one person would have been fine.
No, I love it because it's fast. It's super light. You don't have to memorize any rules. You can draw upon your vast knowledge of pop culture. It plays super fast and it's fun. I love all that about that. Like Caleb said, you can back it on the Kickstarter. At the time of release, there will be 4 days left. You'll be listening to this in the future. So you can go grab your copy, help it go forward. One thing I love in particular about this Kickstarter is that Caleb is emphatic about paying his artists. The art for this book is gorgeous. You'll see it. You can make sure that those people get extra. And like I said, the app's coming. We'll all be ready for that. Look for the links in the show notes. Caleb, thank you so much for coming and sharing this with us. I've had a blast.
Thank you very much for having me and saving my life from the Cockney sailors that were being imported. I was in good hands. Yeah.
That was Face Anatomy. Next, we will be back with something else. This is One Shots and Other Mischief from Queen's Court Games. I'm here with Zoe.
Have a good night, everyone.
With Clara.
Bye, everyone.
With Abby.
Fare thee well.
And with V. It was a pleasure. We'll see you all next time.
Rude.